From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 26th day of February, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. Along the way, I'll remind you to pick up your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's just a little bit less than a week away now at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $30. Online at willag.org or 800-898-1065. That's willag.org or 800-898-1065 to buy your tickets today. Now, here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. March corn down 2 cents today at $3.70 and a half. The May 2 lower at $3.74 and a half. And July down a penny and a quarter at $3.78 and three quarters. December 3 quarters lower at $3.81 and a half. Soybeans 2 cents higher at $8.81 in the March. The May up 3 and three quarters, $8.92 the settlement price. July 3 higher at $9.02 and three quarters. And November beans up 2 and a half at $9.13 and a half. The bean oil down 16 cents and the bean meal $4.80 higher for the day. July wheat futures at $5.35 and a half, down a penny and three quarters for the afternoon. And the hard red there at $4.66 and a quarter, down 2 and a half cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, February contract 95 cents lower at $114.07 and a half. Feeders in the March up $1.10 at $134.07 and a half. And lean hogs for the April at $65.15, up 47 and a half cents. Crude oil $1.39 higher. Ethanol futures a penny and a tenth lower. It's at $1.27 and 9 cents. Crude oil, by the way, is down about $1.39, not up $1.39. Gasoline on the Arabob is 8 and 4 tenths lower, and the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.48 and 9 cents. That's 7 and 8 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas for the day at $1.81 and 6 cents, 3 cents lower for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off around 125 points. The dollar up 0.124, and gold futures down $10.50 at this hour. We're now joined by Jackie Vague. She's at Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us this afternoon. We usually start with some support and resistance levels. We take a look at the exports, and we also check in on where the managed money is for the week. Can you start me off with the support and resistance today?
I sure will, and I've switched to May and July in both corn and beans, seeing that March first notice day is on Friday. For May, we've got support at $3.63, $3.35, and $3. Resistance $3.82, $3.98, and $4.15. And we've got a crossover point between the downtrend line and the uptrend line is at $3.32. So that would be considered major support. July support $3.75, $3.60, and $3.30. And then $3.98 resistance, $4.12, and $4.24. And there the crossover point is at $3.39. When you look at beans, May has $8.50, $7.80, and $7.10 for support, $9.08, $9.48, and $9.88 for resistance. And there's a channel in May beans. The top of the channel right now is at $10.53, and the bottom of the channel is at $7.62. So, you know, there's no crossover point at this point in time. So in July, we've got $8.90, $8.66, and $8.54 as support. 913, 927, and 938 as resistance. And there we do have a crossover point at 941.
What do you see for the exports?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're all over the place. Wheat, they're 10% ahead. Last week, they were 13% ahead. So they've weakened a little bit. Corn, 53% behind. Last week, it was 49% behind. And soybeans, 15% ahead. Last week it was 19% ahead. I think it's purely a reflection of all of the concerns about the world economy and what's going on with the coronavirus. And when I tell you managed money, you'll be able to see that in managed money too. It's kind of interesting. You saw they stated absolutely no change in soft red wheat, 41,000 long compared to 41,000 last week. Now we go to corn. We went to 107,000 short versus 70,000 last week. 101 short versus 80 in beans, 77 short versus 62 in meal, and only 26 long versus 66 long in soy oil. So managed money has been a big pusher of the downside on this marketplace. You know, we just have such low volatility right now that, you know, when you look at corn, we're back in the areas where we normally would expect to see some type of a bounce coming in here. Last year, we were in the same area around this time. And then because of the weather issues, we bounced from 15% all the way up to 45% volatility. Well, you know, that's what it's going to take for us to be able to do something like that again. It's going to be either a weather problem or something else major changing.
The futures market and basis has befuddled economists and farmers and brokers in general. Have you been thinking very much about the carry or lack thereof in the marketplace and the basis that's been awfully strong?
I've been talking to people about it. I mean, you know, to me, it's coming from a lack of farmer selling. The farmer is sitting back and he's waiting and he's saying, I don't want to sell at this price, so I'm going to hold on. Well, that's going to push basis higher, and that's also going to reduce the carry in the market. When you look at March to July, you're looking around that 8-cent carry. It should be much higher than that. And so the thing that I think that we have to think about is, a lot of guys have been talking about, well, I'm going to roll my contracts on Friday to July, okay? Well, they'd probably be best off having rolled them already, but if not now, because when you roll that contract, the commercial is going to be selling the July futures to protect themselves from having paid too much. And so you could be very, very disappointed in what happens because, you know, you do lose that carry when you do the roll, as well as whatever fee you're paying. Now, you might want to consider taking the cash, buying yourself a call because it's such low volatility at this point in time out in July. And, you know, sitting back and saying, well, I'm not paying any storage on this at this point in time. I can just sit back and see once what happens if we do have some type of problem as we go into the spring weather. But I always said the futures market, when you look at it, tells you exactly what is going on. And that is if the carry isn't very large, they want the grain and they're willing to pay for it now. But the minute it starts to move, we're going to start moving back to more of a normal carry situation. And so, you know, you look in beans and carry is about 20 cents between March and July. That's even, you know, that it could be tighter than that, but it even says, come on, we need some stuff to come out of the country. Just don't be the last one to be out there. Be the first one to make the sale and not worry about what anybody else does.
You sort of mentioned looking into the spring. That gets me to thinking about acreage just a little bit. However, I want to look back 1 week in relationship to this because last week the Ag Forum took place in Washington, D.C. That's put on by USDA. Just prior to that event, which was Thursday and Friday, the Secretary of Agriculture was meeting with all kinds of folks about what the credit situation and finance situation on the farm looks like across the United States. He was very adamant on that day, I'm told, that there would not be an MFP3 payment. However, on Friday morning, in the midst of the Ag Forum, President Trump decided that he should announce something related to this, though it wasn't quite an MFP, but it sure looks like he's thinking that there could be a payment if USMCA, which hasn't been ratified by Canada yet, isn't in place and the Phase 1 China deal doesn't come to fruition because of coronavirus. What are you thinking about that kind of announcement?
Well, we've seen it before. I mean, you know, it's the thing that scares me, Todd, more than anything is anytime you hear that there's a potential for additional aid coming, it could force more acres to be planted. We don't think about that, but we do think about that. You know, anybody who's been involved in MFP knows what that means. And so we aren't going to know for a long time yet, probably, if they're going to do anything, but it certainly could encourage more acres. And we certainly don't need more acres right now with the circumstances that we're in, you know, across the world, basically.
Have you thought about more acres of what?
I think it would probably be more acres of corn is what I would think. I could bounce right down, I guess, as long as we're talking about this. And Argentina announced today that they shut off all their registrations for exports because they're raising their tax on beans to 33%. And so what that could do, you know, is possibly force acres away from beans and into corn down there. you just don't know. I mean, you know, it's a circumstance that is, it's so touchy all the way around. If these viruses, let's say, you know, they're warning us now here in the United States that this coronavirus is going to be here. Okay, so fine. You know, we know that that's going to happen. But I think it's perception, and we know it's perception when you look at what the Dow has done and everything else. Everybody's terrified that the world economy is going to slow down so much because people won't go out to eat because they're afraid to do it and all of those types of things. And so I think in general, with the expanding acres that we've seen in Brazil when it comes to beans, we have to just be very, very careful. It could be corn, it could be beans, but whatever pencils the best is what it is, what it'll be.
Any news from China that we should be up to date on?
Well, they are moving forward on some of their phase one. The USDA came out and said that they have taken some action. They've signed a protocol to import more U.S. potatoes. They lifted the ban on poultry imports. They're lifting any restrictions on importing pet foods. And they also broadened the number of companies allowed to export to China. So that's all very good news. But so far, they've said nothing. Nothing's been said about beans or corn, et cetera. But their committed sales for beans right now are 36% compared to 20% last year. That's still, you know, the average we used to have would be 60 to 70% at this time of the year, but that's a big improvement over where it had been. They did tender for a lot of beans last week, but they were coming out of Argentina and Brazil. You know, they've got a favorable exchange rate right now, which is encouraging farmers to move grain. It wouldn't be any different here. You know, if all of a sudden we had a nice spike up here, we'd see farmers moving grain like crazy. Well, that's what they're doing down there. And so we're hopeful. I think that they're still going to follow through. It's just a matter of everything having to settle down. They have less and less cases being reported on the coronavirus. And so let's hope that we get something that resembles normal coming down the road here in the next month or so.
Any other places the coronavirus is showing up that has you concerned? I know here in the U.S., we've had some for a while now. Italy, of course, meaning Europe, is there. Other places that you've been thinking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, Brazil just reported its first case today, and it happened to be someone who had gone to Italy and came back to Brazil. And so now we know that it's there. And I've been in Brazil, and I'm telling you, the conditions in Brazil are very conducive to a big spread of that virus if it gets out of hand. It's not a good situation at all. Something else in Brazil that's going on, you know, we've been talking quite often about the minimum freight rates. And the Supreme Court in Brazil, again, delayed their decision on minimum freight rates now until March the 10th. You got to ask yourself, you know, could this just be because they're afraid we're going to have another trucker strike down there? You know, if they'd have a trucker strike, I'll tell you, I think you'd see China coming here pretty quickly, because it only takes 20 days from the Pacific Northwest to get beans to China compared to 40 from Brazil. And if they have a trucker strike, it's not going to be good. Another thing that I think is interesting is they have a pre-cost funding program down there now. They've got 15 billion real, and it's going to be available to their farmers to transport or store their old crop and buy their new inputs, and they're only going to charge them 6% interest, which, I mean, that's a very low interest rate for down there. They're also going to have something called a harvest plan, and most of that money is going to be dedicated to subsidizing crop insurance. Do they sound like anybody we know?
One other item mm-hmm. on my list to discuss, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average here in the United States. Mm-hmm. 1,800 point drop in a couple of days, stable today. I'm wondering what you think of that. When I looked at it, and I know it's coronavirus related, mm-hmm. but is it possible that this is a lot of profit taking since the October rally began?
Oh, I think a lot of it is profit taking, Todd. You know, when you look at the overall Dow Jones, we went down, we left a gap behind, we went down, we stopped at the 138% retracement, we bounced off, and it's not unusual to see a 10% drop in the marketplace. It's just we're not used to seeing a 10% drop off of almost 30,000 In contrast, I remember when I first started doing this job, if we had a 300-point drop, we almost had a heart attack because it was just huge. Now we can drop 3,000 points, and it's only 10%. So we have to keep it all in mind. I think profit taking is primarily where it's been. It's been opportunity. These markets are tough, and so if you get that opportunity to do something like that, why not?
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Hey, don't forget to pick up your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's next Tuesday at the Beef House. You can be there for just $30. WillAg.org or 800-898-1065. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Hey, good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, too. It's a nice day for late February in some respects.
Well, it's snowy and slushy here, so it sort of depends on where you are. Let's talk a little bit about this snowstorm that's made its way across a portion of the Midwest and I think is headed to the northeastern United States. First, what can you tell me about it, and more importantly, when will the snow go away, because I don't want to have to shovel?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's all a matter of perspective, right? A meteorologist likes this kind of weather, so that's why it's a wonderful day. So anyway, sorry about that. I kind of messed you up. It is snowing from Illinois and Indiana into Michigan, and we're going to see a big storm up there in southeastern parts of Canada, Ontario and Quebec. They're going to get 10 to 20 inches, maybe even some 2 feet amounts. And what's interesting about that particular area up there is that they already have substantial snow on the ground in Quebec, and they also have a saturated soil underneath it. So their agricultural region is facing a tremendous flood potential here this spring, especially after the storm system passes. In the heart of the Midwest, the snow is going to wind down here fairly quickly. We're pretty much done with this event, with the exception of parts of Michigan and Ohio, maybe northeastern Indiana. Those areas will still get snow on into the evening. But Illinois and points to the west, I think, pretty much done with this event. And we'll start melting it fairly quickly. We have a shot of cool air coming around, but warming is going to occur this weekend, and that should get rid of it real quick.
Okay, so USDA yesterday released something I just didn't catch that they do on a regular basis, called the State Stories. These are released in January, February, and March. And they're a NASA update that looks a little bit like the weekly crop progress reports. And it included, under the North Dakota heading, a harvest progress number. Now, you might recall that in the last weekly crop progress report, only 43% rather, of the corn crop had been harvested. That was back on December the 8th. On the January 31st edition of the State Stories, they were at 49% harvested. And as of yesterday, and this is pretty good progress in the winter months, they are now 61% harvested. So I'm wondering two things. One, I know they're worried about snow. So is there snow coming or more snow cover that has been slowing them down potentially? And then the second thing is, once they really start falling through and the soils are so saturated, I don't think they'll be able to move again. So what can you tell me about that area of the world?
Yeah, that's really good. We do have a lot of snow on the ground still in the eastern parts of North Dakota, northeastern half of South Dakota. Well, there's actually snow on the ground in most of South Dakota today. There was some new snow that fell this week from Montana into South Dakota. And the only areas that are snow-free right now are in the, we'll call it the northwestern one-third of North Dakota. And everybody else has at least a little snow on the ground. But, of course, the deep snow is in the eastern parts of the Dakotas and into Minnesota. And the situation there is not as extreme as it was last year at this time, and that's good news. That means that it won't take a lot of warm weather to get rid of the snow, and your question is really poised more on where are we going to go from here. Are we going to have an opportunity to melt the snow without getting more snow on top of it? And the answer to that is a kind of a yes for right now. The precipitation bias in the Dakotas and Minnesota has been actually below normal since the beginning of this month. And this trend will continue into the first week to maybe 10 days of March. In fact, I think the spring in general is going to have a split jet stream pattern. So there'll be a northern branch that will dominate the north central parts of the U.S. That means that cooler and drier air will come in those areas fairly often. The good news is the northwest flow will restrict the amount of precipitation. The good news is also that the temperatures will be getting warmer as we go deeper into the spring season in the afternoons, but we'll have nightly freezes. So I think the scenario right now looks pretty good for getting rid of the snow without a flood and also allowing for some more farming activity to take place before we get all the snow gone. But you're absolutely right. It is totally saturated underneath that snow in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. And as soon as that is all gone, that's going to be an issue. I don't think we're going to lose it all until maybe the second half of March, and I think we'll get some back again. So it's going to be kind of hit and miss for a little while. They will stay wet up there, I think, though, pretty deep into the spring, just simply because it's not going to be persistently warm there.
What's your assessment of the situation in South America today?
South America still looks relatively good, but Argentina has worked its way to the top of our list of areas to watch because of a drying trend that's underway. Now, it's fairly late in their summer, but it is not late enough for late double crop beans and peanuts and late corn, all of which will continue to develop rather aggressively over these next few weeks. And the ground is firming up. We don't have much rain in the pipeline for at least the next 10 days in Argentina, and it's going to turn warmer than normal once again with temperatures in the 80s and 90s daily and probably a couple of extremes over 100 in the north. So Argentina is going to lose most of its topsoil moisture in the next 5 to 7 days, raising stress. The subsoil, though, is still plenty moist for right now. So about 10 days from now, if it still is going to be dry, that's when the stress will be high enough that we could start harming some of the late-season crop yield potentials. For Brazil, it's a little different story. We have very good conditions right now for late-season crops, late-season soybean, I guess I should say, that's being harvested from Mato Grosso into portions of Paraná and São Paulo. Those areas are going to see some rain, but not a lot, and they'll have an opportunity for aggressive field work to take place. Now, just a little farther to the northeast from there, in Minas Gerais, northeastern São Paulo, and Goiás, there is going to be a high frequency of rain and probably some great enough amounts to cause some flooding. We'll hear about that in this next seven-day period. Now, the area that's going to be wettest is not a primary corn or soybean producing area. It's in southern Minas Gerais. That's really sugarcane and coffee country. So for grains, it's really Goiás and the southwest part of Minas Gerais that may have some issues. Goiás produces about 11% of the second season corn crop. So that's the maximum amount that we probably would see have a big issue. And they've already planted some. We just don't know what that percentage is exactly right now.
Hey, Drew, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. By the way, if you want to find him online, you can do that. The address there is worldweather.cc. That's the letter C. That's worldweather.cc.